The title of today's sermon again is Run to Obtain. Can we say that together? Run to Obtain. 1 Corinthians 9, verse 24 to 27. Yes, New King James or New Living. Who is ready? Yes. 1 Corinthians 9, 24 to 27. Please follow in your Bible. Tell us the version, please.
New King James.
New King James. Go on.
24. Do you not know that those who run in a race all run, but one receives the prize? Run in a way that you may obtain it. And everyone who competes for the prize is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a perishable crown, but we for an imperishable crown. Therefore, I run thus, not with uncertainty. Thus I fight, not as one who beats the air, but I discipline my body and bring it unto subjection, lest when I have preached to others, I myself should become disqualified.
Amen. And that was Apostle Paul, you know, writing. You know, Apostle Paul was the great apostle. In fact, I'm not ashamed to tell you that Apostle Paul was the greatest apostle of all time. He achieved more than any other. He was not one of the 12, but he labored more than them all. He achieved more than them all. And he wrote about half of the New Testament. Amen. Okay, let's have it from New Living Translation. 1 Corinthians 9, 24 to 27. We have someone. Thanks.
Do you realize that in a race, everyone runs, but only one person gets the prize? So run to win. All athletes are disciplined in their training. They do it to win a prize that will fade away, but we do it for an eternal prize. So I run with purpose in every step. I'm not just shadow boxing. I discipline my body like an athlete, training it to do what it should. Otherwise, I fear that after preaching to those, I myself might be disqualified.
Amen. Can I ask a simple question? What is the reason why a believer, someone like Apostle Paul, according to those verses, what is the reason why they could be disqualified? I mean, according to those verses, it's a simple English comprehension question. Yes, anybody can help me? The title is Run to Obtain. Apostle Paul, he labored hard. He worked hard. He planted many churches. Yeah? He discipled many believers. He suffered more than them all. He was in prison. He suffered shipwreck. He was beaten with 39 stripes 3 times. Isn't it? What is the reason why he could have been disqualified according to those verses? Just the comprehension of what you read?
When you don't practice what you preach.
Okay, yes. Thank you for that. It's a bit general. I want specific from what you read. Specific. Look at it. What you're telling me must be from those verses.
You have to be purposeful.
Purposeful, yes. I've still not found it. It's there. He said something. He said, I do something lest. I do something. It's right before you. Yes?
Wait. Discipline.
Okay, just a minute. Yeah, I'll come to you. Go on. Are you?
Discipline and training.
Are you doubting? Don't doubt yourself. Just go
discipline
for it.
Discipline and
training. Yeah, go for it. Yeah, we're not looking for a perfect answer. Everybody be relaxed. We're fellowshipping together. I could have decided to just preach it all alone, but I don't like that. I like to interact because I feel that way we are engaging. Amen? All the answers given are good. You know, practicing what you preach. Imagine you preach something. You know, one of these, you know, thank God for every day we are receiving light. And thank God for the Holy Spirit. If you are truly born again, the Holy Spirit lives in you. Now, if you believe that you are born again, or if you know that you are born again, say this with me. Say, the Holy Spirit of God lives inside me. And every day he will be teaching you. But provided you are listening, if you've learned not to listen, he will go quiet. He won't leave you, but he will be quiet. Since you are not listening, we'll let you have your way until you're in trouble. You know, say, Holy Spirit, are you not there? He said, I've been here all along. You're just not listening. So the Holy Spirit, you know, speaks to me as a parent. You see, if you tell your child to pray, but you're not praying, it will not sink in. You know? We pray this prayer, but I tell you something. When you read the Bible, and the Bible tells you, if you do this, this will happen. There's no need to pray for God to make it happen. You just need to do what he said it should do. Otherwise, if I'm praying that God should make what he said will happen when I've done what he said I should do, then that word is not true. He said, train up your child in the way that they should go. And when they are old, they will not depart from. I don't need to waste all my time praying that my children should not depart from the way of the Lord. It's the wrong approach. What I need to do is devote my time, my energy, everything in me to train them in the way that they should go. That's my part. If I do my part according to the word of God, I can trust God. You know, God is never late for a meeting. God is perfect. God is what? If I do my part, now imagine I did my part and I'm not afraid that God won't do his part. I may not get the result. The fear can stop God, because without faith, it's impossible to please God. But when you've done your part, you can trust God to do what? His part. Let me give another example. Malachi chapter 3 verse 10. It said, bring all the tithes. Yeah? Into the storehouse. There may be meat in my house. And prove me. It doesn't feel place in the Bible. God tells you to prove him. Only few. That do this one then. Try, you know, like, test me in this thing. If I will not open the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing, and there's no room enough to receive it. You don't need to beg God to pour out a blessing. What you need to do, he has given you his mathematics. Do this. Now, when you do it, if you don't believe in what you are doing, it may not produce result. Because without faith, it's what? It's impossible. But when you do it and you believe in what you are doing, that's your part. You can't pour out the blessing. Your salary is not enough for the blessing. Amen? No matter the salary you're earning, if Satan raises up trouble, it will be consumed. Like, it will not go anywhere. Are you with me? When you've done it, expect God. You must believe in what you are doing. You see, when you practice what the Bible has said, you must do it in faith. Believe. Hallelujah. Let me show you another one. You know, like last week we resumed physical meetings. You know what has happened in the last 18 months and everything. And there are sometimes some people worry about the risk of infection. We've done our due diligence. Yeah? We've locked down. We've social distance. And as far as I know, most of us, you've been vaccinated. Because I told you, I said, it's not the mark of the, because we happen to know what the mark of the beast is. Amen? You've done your diligence. Now, country has resumed. Are you with me? And we are gathered. And then we are still afraid. Now, remember, yes. Remember, we've done our due diligence. We're not being presumptuous. We're not being careless. Are you with me? What did the Bible say? It said, where two or three are gathered together in my name, there I am in their midst. I'm telling you what the Holy Spirit did to me last week. So you have to believe it. So what I believe is that when we gather like this now, having done our due diligence, if someone comes with a sickness or this, they will be healed here. Because why? Jesus said, where two or three are gathered together in my name, there I am in their midst. Hallelujah. Faith is not presumption. You do your due diligence. Amen? But having done all to stand, what do? You should stand. He's here. Jesus is here. Say to yourself, say, Jesus is here. In a special way. And we know Jesus is everywhere, don't you? But we have gathered in his. Why did you come here today? Is it because of Pastor Ben? It's because of Jesus. He's here. And there's healing here. There's deliverance here. Hallelujah. Even any problem in your life that a vaccine cannot solve, Jesus is enough. Because it's here and his presence is here. Hallelujah. So when you do, when you follow, you have to practice what you preach. You say, oh, don't do this. You tell your children, but you are doing it. You say, you know, prayer is important, but you are watching TV all night. You can't, they will do what you do. They will do what? What you do. You say, you have to be humble, but you are fighting your spouse all the time. They will pick it. Hallelujah. You say, you know, it's important when you're praying. You know, don't just pray, you have to fast, but they never see you fast. You're just, if like keep telling them, you're teaching, you're just in a moral ethics. They will, what you do, and they won't just do it. They won't just do it. They will go further. Hallelujah. They will go further. So part of the training is to practice what you preach. Hallelujah. Look at it. I have children, and I'm a pastor. And I say, I believe God that he heals, he saves, he delivers. And they all through for 18 years, they grew up under me. They never saw any healing. How would they believe in healing? So then it's my responsibility to live by faith and let them see that it is for real. Hallelujah. That's the way. That's the way you train. You must practice what you preach. And I always say to myself, don't make excuse for your children when they are young. There's a reason why they are small. You know, there's a reason why babies come into the world small, not big. Imagine if when you grow up your child, they're as big as Stephen. How can you train them? There's a reason why they grew under you so that you can instruct them. Don't make excuses. Don't say, oh, they can't pay attention. Because they pay attention to the things they want to pay attention to. It's just that they can't pay attention to everything. Help them to be able to pay attention to what you want to train them in. Because just like you were teaching them how to eat, eventually they mastered it. But if you don't start teaching them when they are struggling, they will never master it. Before you know it, they are 18. And they are on their way to uni. It will come. It's a thing. Do you agree with me? I'm talking about both of them. It will come. Praise the Lord. We have to practice what we pray. That means that we will not be disqualified. Yeah? What was the other one, Sister PJ said? I've forgotten. But I remember what you said was discipline. He said, I discipline myself. I discipline myself. Hallelujah. If you want to go far, what do you need? If you don't believe, go and ask him, Emma what? Emma Raducanu. 18-year-old. Won the U.S. Open. Overnight. Can you believe it? Can you believe it? Now, if you want to understand how that could happen, of course, there's an element of grace. There's an element of luck. Like, you know, you just come out from nowhere, unseeded, and you just win. But you got to check her life story. You can be guaranteed that you will see sacrifice and discipline. Hallelujah. You see, your stardom is not in your hands. It's not. It's the grace and the mercy of God. Hallelujah. Bible says in Romans chapter 9, it says, not of him that willeth, not of him that runneth, but of God that showeth mercy. Hallelujah. However, your discipline is in your hands. In fact, you can't pray to tell God to do it for you. The best you can do is ask for grace. But even after you receive grace, you must use it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And so he said, I discipline myself. You need grace to discipline yourself. But there's always, you see, everything God wants to do in your life, he can't do it without you. Even getting you to heaven. You know, God doesn't want anybody to go to hell. Do you know that? God doesn't want anybody. So say, if God is good, God doesn't want. His heart aches. His heart aches for anybody to go to hell. That's why he never sleeps nor. You know why? Every waking moment, which is 100% for God, he is trying to save people. Amen? But he can't force them to be saved. Amen? He will reach out to them. Give them love. Give them compassion. Give them mercy. You know, anybody in this world that is enjoying life is the mercy of God. Because really, they would have been what? Consumed. So, it's mercy, mercy. Because he wants them to be saved. But they have to choose whether they will receive his love or reject his love. Anybody that ever went to hell rejected the love of God. They sent themselves there because God already so loved the world. What did he do? He gave his one and only son. Well, it's not his one and only son now. It was his one and only son. Yeah? Before he died and rose again. Because now the Bible says in John 1:12, as many as received it, what did he do? He gave them the power to become what? Sons of God. Amen? That's why he is the first begotten. Jesus is the first begotten from the dead. I don't want to go deep into that today. But that statement, it means a lot. It's not just physical, it's spiritual. But I leave that for another day. Amen? So, you have to practice what you preach. You have to discipline yourself. What did you say again? Sister, I've forgotten what you said. No, I took yours. Where's the mic? Yes. Yeah, you said, yeah. Sorry. Apologies. I just wanted to amplify what you said. The answer you gave, in order not to be disqualified.
You have to be purposeful.
You have to be purposeful. But I want someone to give me another translation. You know that purposeful is King James translation. New Living. You have to be what?
Intentional.
That's New Living. You have to be intentional. Amen? You have to be what? Intentional. Go and ask Emma. Emma what? Hallelujah. You have to be intentional. You have received grace. Say, I've received grace. Now I have to use it. Hallelujah. You know, one thing you never do in your life is don't shut down. Don't think you've seen it all and that you've done your part. Now it's time for, you know, last week we talked about there's no retirement in God's plan. The only retirement in God's plan is when someone died. That's a fully retired. So long you have the breath of life, there's a race to run. And it's a good race. Hallelujah. You know why? Because it's not the race you set for yourself. It's the one God set for you. Take yourself, I'm in a race. It's a good race. It's a race of life. Not physical life. Eternal life. Hallelujah. On that race, God will be using you to touch lives. God will be using you to bless lives. You say, but I'm in secondary school. Yes! There are many unbelievers in secondary school. And you are the light. You are what? What are you? You are the light. Imagine I just go to the front of the assembly at school and say, I am the light of the world. Somebody's like, it's always crazy. But it's true. It's true. It's true. But say, well, what about Jesus? Jesus is not the light of the world currently. You know why? Yeah? To be the light of the world, you need to be here. When Jesus was on earth, he said, I'm the light of the world. Before he left, what did he say? He said, you are the light of the world. And you are what? The salt of the earth. To impact the world, you need to be in the world. There's another place, in case you don't believe it. He said, Jesus said, as long as I'm in the world, I am the light of the world. But now, Jesus is still the light of the world. It's just that he finds expression through you. Amen? He needs expression. In your workplace, Jesus needs what? Expression. Someone is hopeless. Someone is depressed. Then your workplace, I won't come across them. You understand? But you will. You are supposed to be salt. You know, salt goes into that which is about to rot and preserves it. It invades that rottenness to rescue. You are the salt. Hallelujah. In your school community, your school run, yeah? There are people there who need God. You are the light and the salt. In your school, in your university, there are people That's why God put you there. You understand? That's why there are we never even step your university. But you are there. You are not small. You are able. You are a member of the body of Christ. You are the salt. You are the light. You are the one that Jesus will find expression through. Let's go to Matthew and look at that Bible verse. It says you are the light of the world and you are the salt of the earth. Somebody help me find it. We're looking at running to obtain. You know, I like what Pastor Mee said. He said, in New Living, he said, I'm not just shadow boxing. Someone, one of our youth, please come and show us how to shadow box. I wish Daniel was here. We show us how to beatbox. Anybody? Please come. Steven, show us shadow box. You know what it means to shadow box? Come on, come on. I know you know. Come. Come and demonstrate to us. You may win a prize. You never know. You may win a prize. Come on, give us a good, solid example of shadow boxing. Everybody watch. Come on. Yeah, it's just a 10 seconds, 15 seconds performance. Go on then. Come on now. Come on. Yeah. Come on. Yeah. Thank you very much. Please put your hands together for Stephen. Now, when you take that performance and you mix it with bragging, have you ever heard people that brag? They can't perform, but they brag and they will say, I will just give you up. Hallelujah. So look, now it's hypocrisy. Hallelujah. Try your best not to live a life of eye service. Now, that doesn't mean you should not perform, but let it be intentional from the very bottom of your heart. Even when you're the last man on earth, you will still do the right thing. Because it's the right thing. Hallelujah. You know, Bible says, whoever must come to God must believe that he is. I think that we don't understand it, so let's take it deeper. It means that we if you want to live by faith, you must see God in everything you do, though you can't see him physically. If you see God, your faith will rise. If you are doing it because of others, or for people, you will change according to the situation. So when no one is watching, you will do different. But if you see God, even if it's just you. You know Joseph. Joseph was sold into slavery. He was very far away from home. Yeah? He even had reasons to be angry with God. You know? He had reasons to be bitter. Because this was a boy, a young man, he was 17, that he was the favorite of his dad. His dad bought him a coat of many colors. I mean, in today's world, what could that mean? A lovely jacket, you know, like a lovely performance jacket. He didn't buy for any other child. He was beloved. And then, overnight, he was sold and became a slave in a faraway land, foreign language. Yeah? He had every reason in the physical to do as he liked. But he saw God. Hallelujah. That's how to live by faith. You see God. Whoever must come to God must believe that he is. He is here. Even when no one can see. You know, he actually even sees my heart. He sees my heart. I was seeing someone else. I said, you know what? If your heart drifts, repent. Because nobody can see, but he sees it. It's a matter of, it's an issue of relationship. You know, like, if in all our relationship, like in all our marriages, we learn to say sorry quickly, we have very good relationships. You know, rather than rationalizing and defending yourself. Hello? If you're married, you understand what I'm saying? You say, well, you know, I don't like the way you put that chair. What do you mean? Since I was born, I've been putting my chair like this. You will argue for 30 minutes. All the lunch you ate will turn bitter in your stomach. You don't like it? Sorry. Yeah? You can then continue to enjoy your lunch. Praise God. Say run to obtain. To do that, you need to be intentional. You need to be purposeful. You need to, you know, be a doer. A doer of the word. Hallelujah. 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 The Lord is good. And all the time. Okay, let me take you back. I was going to take you to Matthew, but let me just take you back. Let's look at the second place we read. 1 Corinthians. No, let's finish with that one. Let's go to 2 Timothy chapter 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2. Verse. What was it again? 19? Yeah, 19 to 22. It is well with you. Peace of the Lord be upon you. It is well with you. You will reach destination safely and successfully. Your joy shall be full. The Lord will multiply it in Jesus' name. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 19 to 22. Yes, someone has not read today. 2 Timothy chapter 2. Verse 19 to 22. Say the Lord is here. I am in his presence. I am in his special presence. I am in his manifest presence. Hallelujah. Say where two or three are gathered together in my name. I am what? I am there in their midst. There's a special presence. Hallelujah. 2 Timothy 2, 19 to 22.
But God's truth stands firm. Like a foundation stone with this inscription. The Lord knows those who are his, and all who belong to the Lord must turn away from evil. In a wealthy home, some utensils are made of gold and silver, and some are made of wood and clay. The expensive utensils are used for special occasions, and the cheap ones are for everyday use. If you keep yourself pure, you'll be a special utensil for honorable use. Your life will be clean, and you'll be ready for the master to use you for every good work.
Amen. Continue.
Yeah. Run from anything that stimulates youthful lust. Instead, pursue righteous living, faithfulness, love, and peace. Enjoy the companionship of those who call on the Lord with pure hearts.
Amen. I have some questions for our youth first, okay? How can you, what is the difference between a cheap utensil? You just read it. 2 Timothy 2, verse 19 to 22. Yeah? That's the answer is. What's the difference between a cheap utensil and an expensive utensil? Let me change another way and say, how can you turn yourself from being a cheap utensil to an expensive utensil? Yes. Youth? To anyone below 18. Come on, it's right there. Look at it. Read it. 2 Timothy 2, 19 to 22. Read it again. If you don't know the answer, read it. It said in the great house. They were talking about in the house of God. There are cheap utensils. And they are expensive utensils. Some are for special occasions. And some are for everyday use. How can you? Or what is the difference between a cheap and an expensive utensil or vessel? And how can a cheap one change to become what? An expensive one. They are all in the great house, remember? They are all in the great house. Remember last week, someone said, you know, like, well, once I'm in heaven, I'm okay. Everybody will receive mansions. You know, by the way, King James called them mansions. New Living called them what? Rooms. They don't get to carry away. Yeah. There are many mansions, there are many rooms. So when you want to balance it, think about it that way. Okay. Yes, thank you.
By keeping yourselves pure.
Keep yourself pure. Yes, another answer. It's the same line. But can anybody tell me what you need to keep? What you need to keep from your life is all part of that discipline or being intentional. You remember, you can't do it without grace. But also remember that grace has come. Hallelujah. Grace has what? Has come. Yes, Stephen. What are some things, according to that list, you know, you can tell me a few things that you need to purge out. Once you purge them out, you can move from cheap to expensive.
If you keep yourself clean, your life will become... You'll be ready for the master's use.
Yes, but does it list anything? It's right there. Look at 2 Timothy 2, 19 to 22. It lists some things. Am I right? Anybody? Am I right? Or is it just me? Yes. Okay. I can check another person.
One from anything else.
Yes, let's check another person. Actually, before I do that, let me just cross-check. Because a bad examiner is the one that says a question that has no answer. Okay, I found it. Yes. What are some of the things that you need to keep from, and what are the things you need to pursue? Because it's not all just negative. It's both removing, there's subtraction, and there's addition. In fact, I call it the law of substitution. Yes. Yeah, let's have a youth first. Yes. Go on then. What do you need to keep from your life to move from a cheap to an expensive? Yeah, go on, please.
Run from anything that stimulates you for lust.
Yes, run from lust. And the Bible says in 1 John 2:15-17, it said that all that is in the world is the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. He said these things, they are not of the Father. They are not, but they are from the world. And the world is passing away, and the lust thereof. But he who does the will of God will abide, what? Forever. The world is the wife of Satan. The world is what? The wife of Satan is called the prince of this world. He's not the owner, but he stole it. He's a thief. Hallelujah. Jesus Christ will come back, yeah, to take what is rightfully his. So, already in this world, there are things that are set to trip you if you are not intentional. If you're going to embrace everything the world presents, you are guaranteed to be a cheap vessel. Guaranteed. Praise God. Let me throw this one in. That's why you should not over. You see, to move from a cheap to an expensive vessel in the hand of God, it's not about your fashion and your jewelry. That's not how you become expensive. In the physical, you wear jewelry and you wear the nicest clothes to look what? To look what? To look?
Fashionable.
Yes, I like that. That's very diplomatic. That's the message version. To look what?
Expensive.
Look, let me get the third view. This is newly. That version, yeah, is King James. Let's have you.
To look good.
To look good. That's New Living. Any other version?
To be presentable.
To be presentable. To look presentable. What do you call that one? Amen. I just want to, you know, focus. I want to show you that being expensive is firstly in your inner beauty. We must never get it twisted. The bride of Christ in Revelation chapter 19, yeah, was clothed in white. The Bible says that white is the righteousness of the saints. No jewelry. Go and check it. Revelation 19. None. But the harlot of Babylon in Revelation 17, he was fully decked up. As fully decked up. Hallelujah. The Bible says she had a cup in her hand full of abomination and filthiness. Amen. So, spiritually, in the eyes of God, to be expensive is your inner beauty. Hallelujah. Your inner. Now, am I saying you shouldn't wear jewelry? I'm not saying so. All I've always preached is moderation. Yeah? Am I saying you shouldn't wear nice clothes? I'm not saying so. I'm not saying you shouldn't buy me nice clothes. It's only Easter that always buys me nice clothes. The Lord will reward you. I'm not saying so. But I'm saying that we should focus and concentrate on inner beauty, because that moves you from being a cheap vessel into what? An expensive vessel that can be, that is prepared. You see, one say, what does it mean to be an expensive vessel in the hand of God? It means you are prepared for every good work. When God is looking for someone to use, He will find you. You know, sometimes in the physical, it looks like, as if God does not know your name. It's like God, maybe you had a dream, God say, Meredith. Oh, so you know my name? He knows your name. He knows your DNA. He knows everything about you. He knows where you came from. He knows where you are going to. The plans He has for you, He knows. Hallelujah. But when you have pushed out those things, when you apply discipline, focus, purpose, just purpose, just know who you are, know where you are going. God has not finished with you. God has not God has not even started with you. You know, every day, He said, the steadfast love of the Lord, you know, never ceases, His mercy never contradicts. They are what? Yeah, every morning, every day. Someone say, but I've done bad things in the past. But it's a new day. And God can do what? New thing. Someone say, but I've just gone through a bad, very bad experience. You know? Like I always say, to lose anybody is terrible. It's a wound. But only God can heal it. But you can also stop God from healing it. You know, you can have a wound and keep digging. It forms scab. You peel it off. I know someone like that who used to do that. But I believe they're no longer doing it. They peel it. You form it. You know, they don't like the sight of the scab. But they forgot that the scab is a sign that is healing. Amen? Let it heal. Amen? Let it heal. It's God's job to heal our wounds. But it's our job to allow Him to walk. Yeah? Allow His grace to flow. Allah is love, His mercy to flow. And you will heal. Amen? You will heal. In fact, actually, it can make you become better. Amen? Is there any time bad things happen to you, let it stimulate you to be more intentional with your life. Amen? More intentional. More intentional. For me, anytime people die, I always remember that life is a gift. It is not a right. Life is what? It is not what? And one thing about God, that when God gives you gift, He wants you to use it for His glory. Amen? He wants you to do what? To use it for what? His glory. Praise the Lord. Okay, so now I'm going to take you to the third Bible place. And then I'll ask some questions, and then we'll begin to round up. So we're going to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. You know, in King James, it says, in a great house, there are vessels unto honor, and there are vessels unto what? Dishonor. But it says, if you purge out worldly things from your life, you will be a vessel unto honor. Hallelujah. Can I just say this? You see, sometimes, in modern messages, we can take a truth in the Bible, overblow it until it becomes falsehood. So you start from truth, but if you overblow it, it becomes what? Falsehood. Let me give an example of that. You know the song says, you say, I am a friend of God. You know it? Let's sing. I am a friend of God. I am a friend of God. He calls me friend. Yeah. It's the truth. It's in the Bible. Yeah. Before, we were enemies of God. Yeah. We were cut off from the blessing. But when we received Jesus as our Lord and Savior, yeah, we're no longer in enmity with God. Yeah. We have come to His side. We're now friends of God. But that doesn't mean that everything you do pleases God. Hallelujah.
He doesn't.
To please God, what do you need to do? My youth, please help me. In order to please God, what do you need to do? How can you please God? What do you need to do to please God? For God to be pleased with you. To know, you know, there's a song that said, and I know that you are pleased. You know, so I found many, many stories of what they think you are like, and I know that you are pleased. It's not automatic. What do you need to please God?
Do the will of God.
Simple. Hallelujah. So now the problem is, how do we marry these two? Because they are all both true. You are a friend of God because you have crossed over. You have been delivered from the power of darkness. You are now in the kingdom of the Son. Hallelujah. If you are born again, you are no longer an enemy of God. Are you? You are a friend of God. That's a positional truth. It's true. But on a practical day-to-day, the vital part of it is, so there's a position part. I'm on God's side. I'm a friend of God. But just like I have received the gift of righteousness, now I must walk in righteousness. You receive the gift to walk in it. The gift always has a purpose. So when you've received that gift, it's not to sit back, it's now to walk in it and go on committing righteousness. Amen? So you're a friend of God. It means there's no fear now. Amen? There's no fear in love. But perfect love, what? Casts out fear. So now we're in partnership. I don't know. It's so liberating for you to know that you're in partnership with God. It's not like God up there and me down there and the big. No. I'm now in partnership. So I have to walk. Hallelujah. So for God to be pleased on a practical level, I just have to keep doing what pleases Him. Amen. There's another part, which is, when I miss it, I didn't say if, because you will miss it, because you are still in this imperfect flesh. You know, the flesh is imperfect. So you're not perfect. So when I miss it, what do? I repent. You see, if we say we have no sin, what are we doing? We are lying. And the truth is not in us. That doesn't mean I'm a sinner. But it means that I can fall into sin. Yeah? I'm not a sinner. I'm a saint. Sometimes you wake up and confess that, because that's your identity. But because you're in this flesh, you can be tempted and you can stumble. Yeah, that's the meaning. But when you now stumble, you say, no, I'm okay. Then you're a liar. So what do you do? He said, but if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all. But that doesn't mean I will not go to God and say, Lord, you know I'm a sinner. I'm not a sinner. I don't want to sin. Do you want to sin? If you are truly born again, you don't want to sin. But sometimes you will stumble into sin because you are still in the flesh and in the world. But you don't want to. And you know, if you are truly born again, when you sin, how do you feel? You feel sorry. I don't want to say guilty. Sorry. Amen. And then you just go to God and say, Lord, I missed it. I was angry. I was angry. Forgive me. Then you are back into pleasing God. Praise God. I just like to make that clear. So both are true. But you need to understand the positional truth and also the vital truth where you walk in it. Amen. And you say, I've been made righteous. And I walk in righteousness. That's the. There are two sides of the same coin. And being made righteous is a side of God. It's true. But now, the purpose of being made righteous is to walk in it. And walking righteous is not just about doing the right things in terms of being moral. It's also about believing in the blessings of God and making it for real in your life. For example, righteousness tells me that by His stripes, I am what? Means I don't ever need to beg God to heal me again. The person that needs to beg God to heal them is unbelievers. And God can, because he's merciful. Amen? But this one, because I'm righteous, what I need to do now is that I need to now adopt a mindset that healing belongs to me. So my job is to claim it. You see, the deposit have been made in my bank account. My job now is what? To claim it. How do I claim it? My faith, my confession. Yeah? And my perseverance. I claim it. Righteousness also works. Walking righteousness includes believing that God is the provider of your needs. Amen? I'm not talking about being stinkingly rich. Because in being stinkingly rich, covetousness can also enter. Yeah? But you are in need. Your salary, you cannot meet it. Yeah? Or let's change it. Let's assume that you are not even in need, but you have a problem in your workplace. And your workplace brings you salary. You are in need. Amen? That scripture also applies. Because he is the provider of your need, he can invade that problem in your workplace or in your business and put it right so that your needs are supplied. And righteousness means that you can lay hold and make a claim and say, I claim a change in this situation. It's all part of walking in righteousness. Amen? Praise God. So finally, let's do the last place, 1 Corinthians 10. 1 Corinthians 10. No, 1 Corinthians 3. 1 Corinthians 3, verse 11 to 15. Let's have a youth. 1 Corinthians 3, 11 to 15. Meredith, you've not said much, or Magdalene. 1 Corinthians 3, 11 to 15. You can tell us which version?
New Living Translation.
New Living Translation. Okay, go for it.
For no one can lay any foundation other than the one we already have, Jesus Christ. Anyone who builds on that foundation may use variety of materials, gold, silver, jewels, wood, hay, or straw. But on the judgment day, fire will reveal what kind of work each builder has done. The fire will show if a person worked was only value. If the work survives, that builder will receive a reward. If the work is burnt up, the builder will suffer great loss. The builder will be saved, but like someone barely escaped through a wall of flames.
Amen. Now, that place you just read, who do you think he's talking to? Is he talking to unbelievers or believers?
Unbelievers.
Read it again. Read verse 11.
For no one can lay any foundation other than the one we already have, Jesus Christ.
So, what's the foundation? Jesus Christ. Yeah? The foundation is what?
Jesus Christ.
Now, let me, I will help you. Now, if somebody is building on Jesus Christ, are they a believer or unbeliever?
Believer.
If somebody is not building on Jesus Christ, are they a believer or unbeliever? Yeah, look, this person is a very nice man. He's the nicest man in the community. Yeah? But he is not building on Jesus Christ. Is he a believer or an unbeliever?
Unbeliever.
He's an unbeliever. Don't get carried away with nice people. Let me explain. I try to take you deeper. If somebody rejects the God that made them and refuses to acknowledge them, him, despite knowing that they did not make themselves, they have darkness inside them. Even if they are nice. You understand what I'm trying to say? There is no goodness without God. The moment you reject the source of goodness, Bible says every good and perfect gift comes from above. So when a human being who did not make themselves, when a human being who cannot even decide, determine the day they will die, say that I reject God, I don't want to have anything to do with God, I don't acknowledge that God made me, I don't acknowledge that God is real, there is darkness inside them. I want us to understand it. Because if you don't, you will not preach to them. You think they're just nice. They should be okay. God will close his eyes. What's the foundation?
Jesus.
It's Jesus Christ. So that place, is he talking to believers or unbelievers?
Believers.
He's talking to believers. Because he's talking about how we build on Jesus Christ. On Christ the solid rock I stand. All over the ground. Is sinking sand. All the ground is sinking sand. Have you ever been on sinking sand? Quicksand. I don't wish you to be on quicksand, except if you're in a camp where they're just testing it. Praise God. We are rounding up. I wanted to ask a question. According to 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 11 to 15, which is talking to believers, a day is coming. It has been appointed. What is that day? Youth. Check your Bible. 1 Corinthians 3, 11 to 15. There's a day coming in the future. What's the name of that day? Judgment. Sorry?
Judgment day.
Judgment day. Is it a judgment day for unbelievers in this chap, in this place?
No.
The judgment of believers and unbelievers, they are 1,000 years apart. For real, I'm telling you the truth. Bible says that sinners shall not stand in the congregation of the righteous. I want to tell you something which I need to tell you. On the judgment day of unbelievers, they are not appearing before God in heaven. That's the congregation of the righteous. They are going to stand on earth. The Bible says when the throne is opened, the whole earth fled away. When they are resurrected, they are resurrected on earth. And they'll be looking at God in heaven. That's how we judge them. They are not his children. Are you with me? So the judgment we're talking about here is the judgment of the believer. But the nature of the judgment is different. The judgment of the unbeliever is unto condemnation. The judgment of the believer is unto reward or loss of reward. Hallelujah. Jesus has paid the price. Yeah? But your work, your labor will be rewarded according to your works. Hallelujah. Don't see it as a negative thing. See it as a positive thing. It's an opportunity for God giving you to demonstrate the type of vessel you are. Are you cheap or expensive? Are you honorable or what? Or dishonorable? There's nobody that came to this world that God did not give a gift. You know, when someone is born, people give gifts. Yeah? Every single person that came to this world has a gift from God. Actually, more than one. Even if in the physical, some people look disabled, they have gifts from God. Those gifts may never be used, but you have a gift from God. And all that God is asking you is, everything he has put in you, use it for his glory. Use it to promote his righteousness. Use it to be a blessing. Use it to make a difference. Use it to advance the kingdom. It's like a business deal. Then when you finish, you will then give account of how you used it. There are three definitions of the gifts we have in life. Your time is a gift. Let it count for God. You know, according to Bible sense, it's not your birthday celebration that is the most important about your age. It is the numbering of your days. Amen? The celebration of your birthday is just for the flesh. I'm not saying you should not celebrate, but I'm not saying you should not bake cakes. When you are baking, you can remember me. But I'm saying that it is the numbering of your days. So when you just count, 45 is coming. Let it be counting, 45. I'm about to change from 44 to 45. Let it ring a bell. Let it sit. Because when you live like that, it helps you to run your race well. To know that time is going. There was a time you were sweet 16. Any women in the church? Men don't do sweet 16. The sweet 16 now has become 18. She has gone to university. Just like that. You know? There was a time you were 20, 21. And you think, when I get married on my wedding day, that one is in the past now. You're on your second engine. Amen. There was a time I was young that there was no bed. But as Toby knows, that is history. I'm talking about his own situation. You know, it has come. Before you know it, it starts turning white. You know, what about this white bed, white hair? It applies to both men and women. Don't think it's just men, yeah? And just that men can have white bed. You understand? It's little by little. One day you just open the window and say, ah, this one has turned white. You cut it. you pull it off. After a month, you see that there's two, three. Before you, after a while, you can't keep pulling. You just accept your situation. Praise God. We must number our days. We must be intentional, be purposeful about how you use your time. Then the other two gifts is your talents. You know, there's something said today, which I think we all laughed at, but I think it's true, which is when our little girl came and said, what do you want to be in the future? And she said she wants to be what? A what?
Hairdresser.
You see, in your mind, you may think it's not a big thing. You know, there are people that they've gone to uni, they've studied whatever, but they came back to that thing. They had their, but they came back to what God had already put in there. And they made it big. So when you say industry, you mean thinking just an employee in a saloon. But what if she's the owner of a multinational hairdressing business? So many talents have died because we are pursuing something different and we miss God. Amen? And the third gift God gives is your energy. You know, when you are very young, like my son, you have energy. And if you see him running or dunking basketball, there's energy. Hallelujah. When you are 16. But when you are 45, you still have energy. But you just feel that, why am I getting tired? Then you start confessing that I can do all things. Praise the Lord. Let's rise up. Just talk to God today. The topic was run to obtain or run to win. And what we're really trying to show you here today is that you can be very purposeful. You can be very intentional about your life. There's never a time in your life that God has finished business with you. Don't shut down. Don't wind down. Your success in the past or your failure in the past is never the issue with God. Every day is a new day. And God is doing what? A new thing. If you make up your mind to walk with God, to live by faith, to please God, He will help you.